But I mentioned this morning that I would preach a standalone sermon on one verse of scripture here from Hebrews 7 and verse 25. I really liked Hebrews 7, 8, 9, 10. I mentioned that this morning. Let me read to you verse 25 again when you get to Hebrews chapter 7. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want to talk to you tonight about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. Father, we thank you so much that you fill our cups. And Lord, as the young folk just sang there, you satisfy us. Really, everything we need in life is found in the Lord Jesus. And we're thankful for that. The world lets us down. People let us down. But you never let us down. You satisfy. You bring contentment. And you're just good, and you're good all the time. So as we come and as we look at your ministry a little bit tonight, I pray that it'll be a blessing. The message this morning was a blessing to me and others. But Lord, I pray it'll be a blessing again tonight. May we realize what we have in Christ, and may we also realize who we are in Jesus as well. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I mentioned I want to bring one message from that verse that I just read. It's going to be simple. I'm assuming it's going to be fairly short. I'm not going to preach hard, but I really think this will be a blessing to everyone who pays attention tonight. And I think that's kind of the key with every sermon, and it's to the one that pays attention. So we got to listen and pay attention to what's going on. Because it is about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he does on the behalf of the believer. Now, we mentioned some things about our Lord's high priestly ministry. I don't think I said this morning, but the high priestly ministry of the Lord is for believers. I don't want to sound like we are better than anybody, because we're not better than anybody. But the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is more for believers than it is for non-believers. Now, let me say something. If you're a Christian, that ought to bless your heart. He makes intercession for you and I. That's what he does in his high priestly ministry. So, in his high priestly ministry, or in the ministry of the Lord, what does Jesus do for us? Well, first of all, what is he? He's our intercessor. Look what it said there. The end of the verse 25, it says, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So you know what he is? He's our intercessor. He's our intercessor. In other words, he's our mediator. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2:15 that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, the religion, and most of you know I grew up as a Catholic, I think. But in Catholicism, Mary was a mediator. The saints were mediators. We had all these mediators. But the Bible only gives you one mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a mediator, what do? Well, they do two things. I'll mention them now, then I'll come back in just a few moments to them. But first of all, they plead in behalf of another. So what is that? So when we mess up, you know what Jesus does in a spiritual sense? He pleads our case for us. I'm glad I got Jesus pleading my case for me. Secondly, he gets between parties who are at odds. So when I sin, is my relationship with God broken? No. But is my fellowship with God upset? Yes, it is. So what he does is a mediator, or as an intercessor, he gets between parties who are at odds, with the view and with the idea of reconciliation. God is always in the business of reconciliation. Now, that is wonderful news. I'm going to come back to that shortly. But what else does he do when he intercedes for us? And I want you to notice who he intercedes for. Now, wherefore he is able to save, you see the word them, to the uttermost, that come unto him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who is the them? That's right. It's the believer. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You say, well, that sounds arrogant. I think it sounds like a blessing. Because the end of verse 25 has to do with those who have come to know Christ. Go to John chapter 17. This is our Lord's high priestly prayer. It's one of the most popular passages in all of the Bible. And he's going to pray for a few groups of people. But remember in Luke 22, when Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, Satan has desired to sift you. But then he said this, but I have prayed for thee. And here's how he prayed, that thy faith fail not. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm glad that Jesus prays for us. But look here in John 17 and verse 6. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have now known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Now notice this next phrase. When I said he intercedes for the believer, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world, for they are thine. So first there, he's praying for the apostles. But then, a little bit later on, I want you to keep on going down to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, that was the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. And who is that? That's us. That's those of us that would believe on him through his word. So what is Jesus? He is our intercessor. He's our mediator. And who does he intercede for? Believers. New Testament believers. That's you and I. Now, if I wasn't a saved person right about now, this would motivate me to get saved. I think it's a good thing to have Jesus on my side. And if you are saved, he is on your side. Did you ever hear any preacher say this? God is for you. God is not against you. God is for you. The world might be against you, but God's not against you. God's not against you. God is for you. So he's our intercessor. What does an intercessor do? He pleads on behalf of another, and he makes reconciliation between parties as a mediator. Now, we already go back to Hebrews, but I want you to look at chapter 8 and verse 6. Chapter 7, 8, 9, 10 all go together. But now he that obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant or better testament, which was established upon, and even says this, better promises. Look at chapter 9 and verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that are under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then if you jump on over to chapter 12 and verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Jesus brought in a better covenant. So he's the mediator, he's the go-between. So let me review a little bit. Jesus, in his high priestly ministry, is making intercession for us believers. An intercessor does two primary things, we've said. He pleads on our behalf, and he makes reconciliation between parties as a mediator. Now, there are three groups that we know that Jesus prayed for. He prayed for Peter because he said, Peter, I have prayed for thee. You know, I get a word picture in my mind about Peter, and we know what he did after that, okay? He denied the Lord three times. We know that. But I can just see Jesus walking up and gently and softly putting his hands on his shoulders and say, Peter, I want you to know something. I want you to know that I've prayed for you. Now, if you were Peter, wouldn't that have been something awesome? To hear the Lord himself say, I just want you to know something, Peter. I've prayed for you. I mean, that's an amazing thing. We also know that he prayed for the apostles. And we also know that in John 17, he prays for those who come to Christ. Now, what is the big deal about that? What is the big deal about him being our high priest and he's our mediator and he makes intercession? What is the big deal about that? Well, number one, I never get what I deserve. I'm glad I never get what I deserve. I don't deserve to be saved. I sinned against a holy God. I deserve to spend eternity in hell. I deserve to be separated from God. But you know what? Jesus saved me. He did. And I want you to look over there at Psalm 40. I can probably quote it, but I don't know that I'll... Some of you may or may not know this. This is one of those passages of Scripture where pretty much everybody knows the first few verses anyway. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Aren't you glad he did? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Praise the Lord, he did that. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Man, he put a new song in our mouth. We want to sing for the Lord. I never get what I deserve. You know why that is? Jesus is my high priest. He's my intercessor. And because of who I am in Christ, and I'm nothing of myself, but because of who I am in Christ, I don't get what I deserve. Praise the Lord for that, by the way. Now, a few weeks ago, I said we have it better than the Old Testament saints. We are priests. We have a priestly ministry ourselves. We have a great high priest. We all have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And Jesus is now in his high priestly ministry. And because of that, I never get what I deserve. Sometimes people say, how do you do? How you doing? And one of my standard answers is, better than I deserve. I am doing better than I deserve. I never get what I deserve. When I mess up, Jesus Christ and his high priestly ministry is there to intercede for me and to mediate for me so I don't get what I deserve. He pleads my case. He reconciles me back to the Father. Do you know what you deserve when you sin against God? You deserve, and I deserve, to lose all of the blessings. But Jesus says, hold it. I'm standing in the gap here. I'm going to intercede for them. And that's why when you say, how am I doing? More often than not, I'll say, better than I deserve. That's, by the way, this thing that Jesus being your intercessor and being your mediator and being pleading your case and all that, that is not a license for you to sin. It's a motive for you to do the right thing and to express your love to the Savior, to live more pure, to live more holy, to live the righteous life. Do you know why you keep falling into sin every once in a while? You refuse to resist the devil. If you resist the devil, what does the Bible say he'll do? He'll flee. So evidently, if he doesn't flee, then I'm not resisting. Now listen, realize you have somebody pleading your case, the Lord Jesus. And don't keep letting the Savior down. Don't keep letting the devil get the victory. Don't keep going into court all the time so he can plead your case, if I can say it that way. Don't keep falling so that God can keep extending more grace and more grace. Don't live like that. But I will tell you, we never get what we deserve. I have a high priest, so I always get better than I deserve. Secondly, it's a big deal because it gives me confidence. Now, I want to be careful with this. I'm not talking about pride. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about confidence. There is a difference between pride and arrogance and confidence. You ought to be confident in the Lord. When I'm serving God, I can have confidence because here's what I know. I mentioned where the Lord prayed for Peter, but I want you to turn back there and see it. It's in Luke chapter 22. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus prays for us. That's what an intercessor does. He prays. Now look there in Luke 22, in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But look what he says. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Satan desired to have Peter. And Peter let the Lord down. By the way, Peter let the Lord down on more than one occasion. But Jesus prayed for him, and you say, how did he pray for him? He said, that thy faith fail not. He didn't want Peter's faith to fail. I can live a confident Christian life because Jesus prays for me, and I know it, because he's my high priest. Now, what happened to Peter? Well, it says converted. Here, I think it has to do with this, the right direction for a Christian. If you think about Peter shortly after this, He got headed in the wrong direction, remember? Got around a campfire and denied the Lord three times and the rooster crowed and all of that. But you know what? The Lord had prayed for him. And he even said, by the way, when you get converted, Peter, he became a great preacher and also was used of God to write scripture. Satan wanted him, but the Lord prayed for him. Satan wants you. Satan wants to sift you, and he wants to sift me. But you are a believer, if you are a believer. If you're a believer, Jesus has prayed for you, and because of that, I can have confidence in my Christian life. Let me just say it like this. You know what? You can make it. I can make it. I can live for the Lord. You can live for the Lord no matter what comes into your life and no matter what comes your way. Bless the Lord, you can make it living for the Lord. Now, I know I don't have to live a defeated Christian life. You know why? Jesus prayed for me. I know my service for God is blessed as long as it's biblical because Jesus prays for me. Do you know how many times, I can't even count how many times, that I've done something or made a schedule somehow and I said, well, I screwed that up big time. But then the Lord covers my sorry self. I'll tell you, he does that out all the time. Thank God. There's things I don't even share with people. So, Lord, thank you for getting me out of that one. But it's what he does. In my Christian service, I can be confident in God. But so can you. Now, you're not some kind of a pompous, arrogant peacock, because you don't have to be that way. But you can be confident in your Christian walk with the Lord. Are you ashamed to witness? I hope not. Are you ashamed to live for God? Shouldn't be. Are you afraid to preach God's word? Ought not to be. Or to stand for what is right? I have confidence in God, and you know why? Because he prays for me, and he gives me a word to direct my life. So I have confidence in God's word. Then thirdly, his high priestly ministry is a big deal because of the trials of life. Did you know we all face trials? There's not a person in this room that doesn't face a trial or a temptation or a testing of some kind, not a one. Now let me ask you this question. You don't have to answer. Do you ever feel like the world around you is just crumbling down? You ever been there and felt that way? Most of us have been there and felt that way. By the way, if you've never been there and felt that way, I don't want to discourage you, but one day there's a good chance you will be. It's just part of life. It's just part of life, living life. Like, and this is on some minor things too, but like nothing goes right and everything you touch turns to coal. I've been there. And life sometimes can be just hard, right? But then there's the other step. Some people carry some incredible tough burdens and loads. You went to the calling hours the other night, that little four-year-old girl that passed away. I'm sorry, that is just an awful, awful tragedy. I don't know how you thank the Lord he's there to get you through that. But that is tough. But when you go through something like that, I just want you to remember something. Jesus is praying for you. Here's what the Bible says. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. And when you think that you cannot go on, you can go on because Jesus is praying for you. And when you think everything that you're going to touch tomorrow is going to turn to coal also, so I might just as well stay in bed so that doesn't happen. Just remember something. Jesus is praying for you. Now in John 17, the disciples are about to watch as their life crumbled around them. You know what was happening to them? Jesus was leaving them. He told them he was leaving. He said, I go to my Father. Now let's think about the disciples' life for the previous 3 or 3.5 years. His disciples are watching their life crumble. Jesus is going to be crucified. Their leader is going to be taken away from them. And they have given up, from a worldly standpoint, everything to follow him. Some of them quit their jobs. They quit their businesses. And they just gave up everything and they were going to follow the Lord. He's taught them. He's discipled them, and now he's going to be gone. And all of a sudden, they're all discouraged. I talked to a pastor not that long ago on the phone. I didn't go see him, but I talked to him on the phone, and he told me he's had about 4 or 5 splits in the same church. Now, that'd be tough. And it seems like his life is crumbling around him. But, you know, he just keeps going, and he just stays in the ministry, and he just keeps serving the Lord. Because let me tell you something, he knows that Jesus is praying for him. Now, don't forget that. Don't forget the Lord in his high priestly ministry is praying for you. So if you think, and some of you very well may be thinking this tonight, that your life is crumbling around you, just remember you have an intercessor. You have somebody pleading your case, and he ever liveth to make intercession for you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Let me read that verse again. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There was a poem written several years ago. It was called Footprints. You used to see it everywhere you go. But for some reason, you don't see it so much anymore. So I thought I'd read it to you. It said, one night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed the scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other belonging to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and so he questioned the Lord about it. He said, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, that you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints in the sand. He said, I don't understand that why when I needed you most, you would leave me. And then the Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it is then that I carried you. Amen. It is those times in my life and in your life that the Lord carries us through. Amen. And he promises to do that. Fourthly, in his high priestly ministry, we sang that song, is what made me think about this. God doesn't forget us. You may think there are times in your life, God has forgotten all about me. The truth is, he's not forgotten all about you. He never forgets about you. You know who puts that thought in your mind when you say, God's forgot about me? That's exactly right, the devil. That doesn't come from God. Thoughts like that never come from the Lord. My friend, Jesus is there. And sometimes we don't let him carry us because we can think we can fix the problem ourselves. And sometimes we try to take matters into our own hands and we forget Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, he never forgets us. Some of you here tonight might be carrying some incredible burdens. I just want to remind you of a few things. Jesus never forgets you. He's still right there. And I want to remind you that he's praying for you. He's interceding for you. He's your mediator. He's pleading your case before the Father. Now, if I were lost, that would encourage me to get saved, to have a high priest. But most of you here tonight are already believers. You have a great high priest, and you ought to thank God for him. Can I get someone to come to the piano, please? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed and no one looking around. Maybe you're carrying a burden tonight. I don't know what the burden is. But maybe you need to be reminded that there is a high priest up there. His name is Jesus, and he's making intercession for you. He never forgets you. He never, I mean, you don't even slip out of his mind. And you may feel like sometimes he has, and sometimes your world is crumbling down around you. But God's still got it under control. Why don't you just give it to the Lord and let the Lord take care of it for you tonight? Father, we have a priest that's the greatest priest of all the priests that ever has been and ever will be, the Lord Jesus Christ. He intercedes for us. He mediates for us. He cares for us. He never forgets us. He carries us through. He's always there, and we always have it better than we deserve. Sometimes I think in our pride and in our arrogancy, we think we deserve it better, but quite honestly, we know we don't. So as we come to you tonight, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for always being there for me when the times in my life when I have needed it most. Thank you that you have carried me through the times when I have felt that my life, everything around me is crumbling away. Thank you, Lord, for the trials, because you use them to mold us and to make us and to shape us into your image, even though they can be difficult to go through. But Lord, we know you're there. And I think about Peter getting ready to fall, and I can just see you walking up to Peter and saying, Peter, the devil's desired to have you, but I just want you to know that I've prayed for you. What a blessing it is for us to think that our Savior prays for us. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. I pray a simple little message that everybody would grasp the great truths and the great principles that are in it, and that they would walk a Christian life not in self-confidence, but in confidence in the Lord. And may it be so, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to have Faith to play. If you're carrying a burden tonight of some kind, why don't you just talk to the Lord about it? Take a few minutes right now. Talk to the Lord about it. I'll make a few announcements. If we get a couple ushers to come, Lily, you can get ready to do the offertory. But just a few announcements. I just was given this tonight. We need a junior church worker for the month of November. All right, see me or Brother Bill or Melissa or somebody, but see one of us three if you would be interested in teaching junior church next month, which begins Sunday. But we have a curriculum. If you want a curriculum, we have a curriculum for you, but it starts in November. All right, so it starts next month. It sounds like a long way away. It's about 1 week away, if you want to know the truth, all right? So if you want to do that, that would be a help. Also, John and Romans are available for us to go pick up in Middleburg, where we go get them. It's actually Cobleskill. And these are Bulgarian John and Romans. I don't know that we've ever done Bulgarian before. Have we ever done Bulgarian? Have we? We've done an awful lot of different languages. But these will be Bulgarian. We're not doing Spanish this time, Bob. We've done a million Spanish. I mean, wow, we've done a lot of Spanish. But these will be Bulgarian, and we'll pick them up Tuesday. Oh, I was hoping Brother Ed would be here tonight, because Ed usually drives down and gets them for us. But I'll talk to Ed, and we'll pick them up Tuesday or Wednesday, and so we'll have work for John and Romans on Thursday. So we'll have that. All right. A couple of things I got texted me this afternoon. Amanda Miller is in the hospital in Rome. She didn't tell me why. She just said, I'm in the hospital, and I'd like people to pray for me. That's all I know. Jane texted me this afternoon as well. Paul did the FaceTime thing with his wife Holly yesterday, and she said he actually looked good for the first time, and she can't remember when. So that's a step in the right direction as well. So we're grateful for that. Ladies retreat, if you have any questions, see my wife. If you need a scholarship, see me. And then women's prayer breakfast will be November the 9th, along with the next cantata practice. And the clam diggers and the peewees will be singing for us on Sunday night, November the 17th. Try to remember to be here at 5:30 that evening, your parents, for that group. And prayer meeting Wednesday night, if I can invite you to come on out. And the other things that are in the bulletin as well. You know, I mentioned John in Romans. And there's an article that I put in the bulletin about back in 1813, James McHenry was a big supporter of we need to get the Bible out all over. And that article is in there. I got that out of our Patriot Bible that we have. I didn't, but I ain't smart enough to write that stuff. But I'm smart enough to read what somebody else wrote and pass it on to you. All right. Anyways, let's give a good offering tonight. We thank the Lord for being our great high priest. William, do you feel comfortable praying? Okay. Amen. Thank you, young lady. All right, let's stand. Let's be dismissed. Father, it's been good to be in your house, and it's been good one more time to be reminded of the ministry of our great high priest. And by the time we get through chapter 10 in this particular book, we will have heard much more about it as well. But it is something I don't think that we should ever forget. I don't know that you'd have put so much in the Bible about it if you wanted us to forget it. And so we're thankful, and may we think about it tonight. May you keep it on our mind. You're always there for us. We are so thankful. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, praise the Lord.